Tony thrust against the blast, speeding toward them with everything he could muster. Even with Frank helping, their helicopter jittered as shockwaves tossed it around.
"Listen up," Milton yelled into his microphone. "Latch the side door open. Make sure your parachutes are strapped on tight. If I say go, jump. Don't hesitate, don't look back, and for fuck's sake, watch the rotor blade because we'll be auto-rotating."
"What about you?" Frank asked.
"Don't worry about me. I can take care of myself."
Tony exchanged glances with Frank and muttered, "I'll get this part." He lurched to his feet and secured the door in its open position. Wind roared into the cabin, deafening him. Hanging onto straps attached to the fuselage, he made his way back to his seat. After he half fell into it, he glanced at the shoulder harness and decided not to hook himself back in. Fumbling with the clasp could get in the way if he needed to move fast.
"I don't have a good feeling about this."
Frank undid his harness.
"Which part?" Tony grimaced. "Jolting around in the air isn't a barrel of laughs, but jumping feels unnatural."
"Nothing is unnatural. We're machines."
"Yeah, well, the human part is in ascendancy right about now. I'd feel better if we had a chance to practice."
"Stop whining and help me."
Frank clenched his jaw tighter. Power spilled from him in waves. Tony rode the crest of them, lacing his power with Frank's. An explosion bombarded his senses, and the cabin filled with smoke. The bird canted hard to one side, but Milton didn't say one word about leaving, let alone getting the hell out right now.
Shit.
Milton must be hit, or he'd be barking orders.
Tony pulled himself toward the cockpit with the craft spinning wildly.
"See if you can stabilize it," he screamed at Frank. "I'll get Milton."
Whatever Frank did helped, but not very much. Tony staggered into the cockpit and found a gaping hole in the windscreen, with Milton slumped against his harness. He was still alive, but unresponsive. No time to assess what damage he'd sustained. Tony unclipped Milton's shoulder harness. It was incredibly difficult in the rocking, rolling, wounded chopper, but he hoisted the other man over his shoulder and made for the open door. Frank stood next to it, his expression grim.
"I'll take him."
"I've got it," Tony said, and stepped into nothingness to avoid further conversation. He had two jobs, hold on to Milton and pull the ripcord. He expected a sharp jerk when the chute opened, but it was so vicious it nearly yanked the unconscious man out of his arms. Frank's chute opened off to one side. Their chopper plummeted downward, spewing smoke and fire, so close he felt the heat from it as it passed. Tony girded himself for shockwaves from the explosion when the helicopter hit the ground, and worked the air currents to get as far from the crash site as he could. Not easy with 200 pounds of dead weight clasped against his body. Meantime, he had another, more pressing problem. How hard would they impact? The chutes were designed for one man, not two. He did some rapid calculations and didn't much care for the answers. Maybe they wouldn't even make the ground. They were prime targets drifting through smoke-filled air. It burned every time he inhaled, but it also made them harder to see.
"Aim for the lake to your right,"
Frank sent telepathically, sounding rattled. Good advice, but could they get there? They were losing elevation at an alarming rate. He estimated approximately 300 feet remained between them and the ground, and the lake was at least 500 feet away. He pushed mental energy into the air, stunned when he was able to alter his descent rate. Maybe he could make this work after all. The water would soften their landing. Milton thrashed in his arms.
"Stop it," Tony yelled.
"What happened? How'd—"
"Later. I have to concentrate."
Tony felt movements as Milton twisted his head, surveying their surroundings.